B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
Ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Again with the Dilly.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hello.
He shoots, he scores. Well, take down the old posters of Janet Jackson and put up the new ones of Avril Lavigne. Leafs are in the lead. Holy smokes. Take a sniff of this dump I just dropped in the toilet. The Canadians are back in the game. Right from the blue line, and it's in. Oh, take all my teeth out and wash them, baby.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Zetcher and Rich radio program, and if I'm not mistaken, that's Thomas Middleditch.
Yeah, that is the lead on Silicon Valley, who I guess just started doing a character of like a Canadian hockey broadcaster, and the Kings actually let him onto their broadcast, never mentioned that he was Thomas Middleditch, the comedian, and just interviewed him as if he was actually some like old in the middle of nowhere Canada hockey broadcaster.
No, he was the equipment manager.
But who had turned into a broadcaster, yes.
Well, and then meanwhile, NBC Sports Boston wouldn't let me do a quarter of a game.
That still blows my mind. They wouldn't let you do that.
Even though we were on the air there at the time.
Just 20 hours of the week, Fred, was our broadcast. It was like our show.
Yeah, and then I would have been on for 20 minutes.
You offered to pay your way to Detroit. Say, don't worry about room. Don't worry about board. I got a place to stay. I'll pay for my own meals. I'll just show up at the Palace at Auburn Hills. I'll get my own ticket, and then I'll just walk down.
I wasn't going to get my own ticket.
All right, whatever. Everything else was free for them. They didn't have to pay for anything except get you a press pass for the game.
Yeah.
I'll walk down from my spot on press row. I'll walk the 30 feet over, and I'll sit down for two quarters and then walk back.
Gorman wanted it. He pushed for it, and they're like,
Scal wanted it.
God, no.
Well, that's the thing is that how much more fun would it be if you like let something like that happen occasionally? Allowed something, you know, nothing that's like, he didn't say the dump stuff when he was on it.
No. He said something. It was never, that's just him, like, in his car doing the character. But no. They got him on there, and they never referenced that he was the dude from Silicon Valley, and he's got, like, these glasses, and he's just, you know, they're taking him at his word and, you know, trying not to blow the joke by laughing at everything he says, but they, you know, of course, failed a few times. But it was fantastic, and it was great, and you know what? It went viral, but that was very weird. You're right, Fred. Now, the fact that the Kings will let him do that, and that you weren't allowed to just for a couple of, like, for one quarter, I think is how
it was
sit on. Yeah. That was strange. And it was like a mid-season game, in February.
Yeah, of course you wouldn't let me in a playoff game.
No.
But if I was producing those broadcasts and there was, like, someone, not even me, but if there was someone who could do that, Middleditch does it. Ton of characters but the problem is he does podcasts that are like improv oriented, which you're lucky if you get one out of 20.
It just makes me nervous for the guys. It's like, are they gonna be able to land this joke?
Doesn't like care if it lands or not, which is kind of makes it okay, you know, like when they don't care. But I'm like the only one on the planet that doesn't like Paul F. Tompkins. Everyone finds him a delight.
I actually don't know who he is. I don't know.
Well, you've seen him, and like everyone thinks he's great, and I don't find him funny in the least. Last night, so we have this dog that's a year old, and last night, yesterday for some reason the dog was all over me, just like wanting to be on me all the time, mm-hmm. which is okay for, you know, an hour, and then you're like, all right, get the hell off of me,
right.
And last night, the dog usually sleeps next to my wife. We have a king-size bed. Last night, the dog, like, draped over me, and I would move the dog, and then the dog would just come right back, so I had to just accept it.
Yeah.
Hell.
How big is the dog now?
Probably 40 pounds.
Okay.
And 30, 40 pounds. And so, and for some reason, my wife loves that. Like, she's like, how could you sleep with a beast on you?
Yeah.
Like that the entire night.
Mm-hmm.
My it's just so annoying.
My dog's favorite place now is between my legs with his nose on my crotch.
Mm.
Like, that's like the spot. Like, if I fall asleep, I'll wake up and there's like a muzzle on my crotch.
Mm.
And I'm like, this is really
awkward.
Weird.
Yeah.
No, it's just weird. It's like, I mean, and you can't, the other thing is too, is that once that happens, you're kind of frozen because you can't like turn left. You can't turn right. The dog's stuck there and you don't want to have to get up and pick him up and remove him because then it completely breaks your sleep and then you're awake. So you just kind of like, all right, man, I got to sit here and I'm pinned down to the bed and I can't move. Our dog burrows under the covers and everything too. I'll wake up and I'll just see like two bottom like leg paws sticking out of the top of the cover. It'll be like kind of weird.
Yeah, my dog was under the covers. Yeah, she crawled under the covers and she draped herself on me, and then moved my shirt up even to get closer. Oh my god, I don't know how anyone can deal with that.
Your dog, you don't have a fragrant dog though. Your dog actually doesn't smell right. I mean, it's not like,
no.
Okay, because I had a bulldog one time. My new dog is great, doesn't smell at all, so I don't even really mind it. But I had a bulldog, and like if he got in the wrong angle, and I'm not saying this to try to be funny, the dog would just fart all night on your face. And so it got to the point where you couldn't do it because it was just so disgusting. It would wake you up, you'd gag you. Bulldog, anyone who's been around a bulldog for more than 20 minutes knows that those things are deadly, and it's not a joke. Like, you will gag if you inhale a bulldog fart.
Mm.
So you had to physically pick him up and move him off your bed. And now with this dog, it's more just like, all right, just kind of just let things go, man. Just going to let him sit here and pin me down on the bed, and I'm going to deal with it.
Those bulldogs are a pain in the ass.
Well, they're like old cars. They're just constantly breaking down. I mean, they're too big for their legs. And I had a dog who's, I've told you before, his nose kept falling off.
Yeah, like, it's inbreeding. It's because they're all inbred.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, ours was like wildly inbred.
Well, yeah, but it also, didn't your bulldog have to have a cart?
Yeah, we pulled in a cart because his back legs didn't work. We had to get new kneecaps for both leg. So it was like you'd get one. And then it had to do all this like weird underwater therapy, which, by the way, I might have spent $10,000 on my dog in the first 2 years that we had it because he was just like, his legs didn't work. So we just like, and like, we didn't have any, like hardly any money at the time, but it was like, you know what? Let's get the pet insurance.
You are
still
a saint. You
no,
really
it wasn't
are.
A saint. We didn't think it was as bad as it was. So what are you going to do? Just let him just not walk? So we just, we went into credit card debt, getting our dog's legs fixed.
Oh,
and it sucked. It was worse than having a car.
Things are all inbred.
They are.
Yeah, that inbreeding screws them up. It's like my dad's dog, they rescued some dog that was 4 years old, the one that bit me in the nose.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it follows my father around everywhere. Like, it's completely screwed up. And they gave it chemotherapy to keep it alive. And I'm like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, what are you doing? This dog's awful. And so what? The dog follows him around. But then if the dog's not following him around, like if the dog happens for like, a 2 minutes not to be, Ginger, come on. Come on, Ginger. And you say, why won't you let the dog like be without you? Well, she runs all over the house looking for me. So what? like so what? What are you, camouflaged? Well, then she'll run all over. No, you love it. You love it, Dad. You love nothing more than that dog follows you around.
So how'd that go? You just were in Tennessee, right? So how'd that go?
She just growls at us every time that we're around.
Oh.
And then my dad says how there's nothing wrong with the dog. Because the dog follows him all around. I mean, literally follows him everywhere. And then if he's gone, she goes to an area and sits and waits for him.
So she's dependent and aggressive and protective. That's a triple threat, man.
She's not protective of my dad. She's just hates other people. She was obviously beat or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, she was beaten because she's got marks all over her. But the thing is that, yeah, and it's not even the dog, whatever with the dog. It's just that my father insists nothing's wrong with the dog. and nothing could be further from the truth. It's following you everywhere and growling at my children, yeah. who have no desire to be with the dog or touch the dog in any way, shape, or form.
Well, since I live in an apartment, my dog has to bury his bones everywhere, like in the house. Like, you'll find it, like, you know, in the cushions and, mm-hmm. like, in your laundry and stuff like that. However, the bulldog I had before that, like, wouldn't bury her bones. She would bury the meat that you put in her bowl to eat. So there was one time where, like, we had friends over, and they were staying in, like, our guest room. And when they went to go lie down, my friend called me into the room, and he pulled up the pillow, and there was a giant thing of, like, wet dog food underneath the pillow.
Oh.
The dog had just buried it, and I don't know how long it had been there because no one had slept in that bed in, like, a couple months. But there was this big, like, rotten thing of meat that they had buried right there, right under where your head goes. Good little squish for you.
All right. Pasta Joe going to be in today at 7. Hopefully, Brandon Merriweather at 8. But we are doing...
Yeah, Pasta Joe's at he's going to be at 9.
Yeah, 9.
Yeah, 9.
We're having a contest that's coming up on Thursday for tickets to see San Diego visit the Patriots. It's called Worse Than
it's
Brady.
It's Los Angeles, Fred.
Oh, yeah.
The Los L.A. Angeles. Chargers.
Worse Than Brady and all entrants. All right, here, get a pen and a paper. I'll give you a couple seconds.
By the way, all of this you can find at Toucher and Rich on the Twitter. All the rules, you can find it there or 98.5thesportshub.com.
All right, so all entrants must tag not at 98.5thesportshub. This is a Twitter thing. At 98.5thesportshub, and they use the hashtag Worse Than Brady Contest 2019. That's hashtag Worse Than Brady Contest 2019. You have until 11:59 tonight to get yours in. And what we're looking for is the opposite of a healthy lifestyle. We're looking for someone who is uniquely gross or uniquely harming themselves in some way.
Someone who does not care about pliability, does not care about the type of diet they have, and isn't afraid to show us why.
Right.
The videos of your apartment, how disgusting it is, of how your lack of any kind of physical activity.
Yeah, Fat Tony won last year, and there was actually some concern I had for him based on his blood pressure. I was not joking, but he nonetheless took them. He sold them.
Because he couldn't climb the stairs of the 300 section.
He sold them because he wanted the money.
He won the tickets and sold them, that's right.
Only $1,000, too. You know how much he could have gotten for those tickets? And what do they face at?
Yeah, I mean, you got to think that's close to face.
Yeah, I would. I mean, he could have gotten a lot more than that.
Was that the AFC Championship?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. But yeah, he could have gotten more than 1,000.
But that's Fat Tony. He just wanted to, you know, get out. He just wanted to go out and buy. Why try? He just wanted to go out and buy some scratchers and have his way.
More hot pockets for him.
Absolutely. All right, Rich, what is coming up in last night?
Oh, it's always wonderful when Nick Saban gets embarrassed on national television. We will get to that, as well as the Celtics have another big one.
I don't know. Clemson's going to be awful annoying the next 2 years. All right, we'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich. Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Five Sports Hub or Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Every time Nick Saban loses, an angel gets his wing.
Third throw in three plays. It's intercepted. The Tigers are going the other way. AJ Terrell with a pick six.
Well, second to season two of Rock of Love, there is no better television than watching Nick Saban get his ass kicked all around a football field. And that is exactly what happened last night as Clemson blows the doors off of the Crimson Tide, 44-16. It was the fourth year in a row that Alabama and Clemson had met in the College Football 14 playoff, and the third time they faced off in the championship game. Clemson has now won two of those three games, and this time a long-haired star was born in quarterback Trevor Lawrence.
And backpedaling, Lawrence flips it open, wide open. Justin Ross off and running. The Alabama native wins the foot race, and Clemson strengthens its grip on this championship game.
Lawrence was outstanding, completing 20 of 32 passes for 347 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. NFL teams already planning on how badly they can tank to get their hands on this kid who absolutely carved up the previously assumed best team in college football. Clemson's offense was absurd. They pulled away with 482 yards of offense on just 63 plays. And on the other side of the ball, Nick Saban was pulling ill-conceived fake field goal plays that would make Mike Tomlin proud.
Clemson alert for a fake. Bullivis from 40 yards, and it is a fake. And taking off is Mac Jones, the backup quarterback, and it's snuffed out. Niles Pinckney made the stop.
Hang on, did the broadcasters call it before it actually happened?
Yeah, no, Clemson was ready for it. Okay. That's what they said.
So here's what happened on that play. If you didn't see it, they needed 6 yards for a first down. So when they hiked the ball, the holder tried to run it with the kicker being his lead blocker. Egads. Like, it couldn't have gone any worse. Now, it wasn't as bad of a disaster as that thing that the Colts tried to pull about 4 or 5 years ago, which is the worst play of all time. But I just can't imagine that coming out of the brain of Nick Saban. You wanted skinny-ass kicker. How many pounds do you think that guy weighs? Like, maybe like 160 pounds? They wanted him to be the lead blocker right down the middle, and that dude from Clemson was just like, hello. If the broadcasters knew what was going on, you better believe a guy like Sweeney, who'd been watching tape after tape after tape, would know what was going to happen, and of course, he did. Well,
apparently Saban's obsessed with using quarterbacks as holders, which I guess is no favor to the kicker. Because they're not able to practice enough, instead of using a punter. So that's been, and their kicker sucks.
But whoever it was they were using as a running back, they're trying to get him to like punch through a hole in the line, and they had 6 yards to go. It was just a bad, bad play. Well, either way, let the fun begin. Here is Clemson sensation and future Patriots quarterback Trevor Lawrence afterwards.
How many championships do you plan on winning here at Clemson?
At least probably 3 more, hopefully.
Okay, all right.
Well, now people are calling him the best prospect ever. I mean, people are going crazy.
Well, I mean, listen, he was amazing.
No, but it happened
got
in
one,
2 years.
You got 1 year out of this guy.
I know. You're not eligible to be drafted for another 2 years. Right. There's a long time between then and now.
Yeah, but I mean, so I read that before the game yesterday. Like, he could be the best prospect of all time, and then you go, all right, well, there's John Elway.
Yeah, he's got the nation's best offensive line blocking for him. I mean, honestly, let's see.
Dabo Sweeney's annoying as Nick Saban in another way. He's like just more boisterous.
Yeah, he's more of an attaboy type of guy, where Saban just insults everyone around him.
Yeah,
it's a little different.
Different
tactic.
I mean, as much as Alabama's boring and Nick Saban's a humorless prick, this is going to get every bit as much annoying.
Because both teams will be back next year playing in the same game.
Yeah, it's great.
Short of a major injury on either side, you know? It doesn't matter.
And then if you're, you know, Alabama's got all these kids that are first-round picks and all these D-linemen, and so does Clemson, but they have all these D-linemen, and then you go, like, what happened? You know, how can you stack the field with that many first-round picks or first- and second-round picks and then get picked apart like that?
It's also kind of ridiculous how many of these guys are going to be in the NFL. I mean, it was just like...
I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, because the quarterback from Alabama could be the first quarterback taken next year, and then this kid in 3 years is going to be the first pick in the draft if all things stay the same.
Well, if you like hearing Nick Saban eat it at a post-game press conference, here it is a little bit afterwards.
The responsibility for us not playing well really starts with me. You know, we obviously didn't go out there, and they did do some things that we weren't prepared for, but you always expect that. A couple bunch passes that Oklahoma ran and some other people that, you know, we had to make adjustments to at halftime.
I just like the talking points they're trying to, like, push this morning. I saw the impact of loss on Saban's legacy. Dude, what are we talking about? I hate the guy, but I mean, are we being serious right
now?
Honest
to God.
I mean, I'd say it's probably, I'd say it's cemented in there pretty good. He's got a pretty decent legacy. It's very tough to ruin it unless he kills a guy. And if it's in Alabama, it probably wouldn't be that big of a deal because, you know, he'd get away with it. Now, if all you watched last night was just the game, well, you missed out. Because much like last year's Super Bowl, when Coldplay was announced and then there was panic that not enough other type of music fans would enjoy Coldplay, so at the last minute they crammed in Beyonce and Bruno Mars, and the final product ended up sounding like a big mashup of garbage. Well, Imagine Dragons was going to be in your bag last night because they were set to perform at halftime. Yes, Imagine Dragons, the adult version of the Wiggles. But then someone said, hey, I don't think the hip-hop community likes Imagine Dragons, so see what happens when we jam Lil Wayne and let him wander onto the stage to randomly rap over some sweet Imagine Dragons. And here's how it ends up sounding.
What the what, though? Where the love go? 5, 4, 3, 2, I let one go. I'm a cutthroat. You a tough guy. That's a no-joke. Then the sun dies.
go. 5-0-3-2 and a one go. Show.
And meanwhile, awkward Imagine Dragons guy is just like jumping around all white.
Put that girl aside. What the? Flo, I sleep with the girl, and she don't know.
All right. Well, on top of that, with his giant hat and Carly Simon sunglasses, it looked like a 5-foot version of Carmen Sandiego had wandered out on stage. It was just an amazing mess. But at least there was the 5-minute commercial for Captain Marvel immediately afterwards.
Oh, cool.
Which actually looked all right.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't.
I'm not going to lie about that. But how long is the halftime show? That might have been 45 minutes.
Jesus.
I mean, because Imagine Dragons did three full songs.
Oh.
And then they did that Marvel thing, Captain Marvel deal, which was like a special for it. I read yesterday that the rights that ESPN paid for to get the college national championship game broke down to yesterday's game alone costing them $475 million.
They must have been thrilled at the outcome. It must have been good that the game was over by the fourth quarter. By the way, Clemson's got it pretty nice. They don't have to play anybody.
No.
Like, Clemson plays nobody.
But I guess it doesn't matter when you blow out Alabama. I mean, there's
no
question.
No, it doesn't matter, but it must be nice just going through the season and not having to worry
about
anything.
Yeah, you have one of the nation's best rosters. You have a great freshman quarterback, and you play a lot of punch-drunk teams in the ACC. You get, it's
nice. They almost lost twice this year, too.
Well, the best is now all the Notre Dame fans saying, well, maybe we're not so bad after all.
Boston College actually played Clemson better than Alabama did.
Yes, without their starting quarterback.
BC played Clemson better than Alabama did this year.
Yeah, without their starting quarterback.
Yep.
And their quarterback got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, in the next 20 years, BC takes one.
Sure.
You never know.
Yep, maybe that could happen.
I'm ever, ever hopeful.
By the way, speaking of football, according to Ian Rappaport, it looks like Josh McDaniels might be sticking around in New England.
Yeah, but not by his own accord.
Yep, because the only team that is really known to interview him, I think he's only interviewed with this one team, and that being the Packers, they got themselves a coach now. They got LaFleur.
That's a major league slap in the face.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Look at that Tennessee offense, and look where they were ranked. The only reason he got that job is because he was the quarterback's coach at Atlanta the year Ryan won MVP. That's the only reason
he worked under Shanahan, and he worked under...
And he's such an offensive genius that Tennessee's offense was atrocious this year.
Yeah, but they look at it more that... Obviously, he has intangibles that we don't know about, and they also look at it... He was under Shanahan, and he was under someone else.
Still, you take a look at the resumes of both men, McDaniels is easily as good.
People don't want McDaniels.
I know that.
And he did it to himself.
I know that, too. You're
so,
absolutely
right. I mean,
right.
That was a job that 2 years ago that he would have gotten if he wanted it.
Fred, you don't trust the back channels that were being reported in the, what was it, the Canton County the Procreator, or whatever the name of that paper was, where Josh McDaniels' father lives?
The repository?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was the repository.
Canton repository?
That's right.
Yes.
So now it's Cleveland.
Or bust. Or that's it.
Yeah, it's Cleveland or nothing.
Yeah,
because he said no to the Bengals. That's the one team that reported that did want him.
Which
and he
I
said,
told
nope.
you at the time was stupid because, I mean, you're not going to keep being that candidate for much longer.
Oh, you don't take that Bengals job. I mean, that's the one thing.
There's
you
stay in New England. There's only 32 jobs.
Understood, but you stay in New England instead of the Bengals
why?
Job.
Why?
Well, because it's the Bengals, and right
win.
Now they're in shambles.
You can't
right,
win.
And why would you try it a second time with a team where you're in a no-win situation?
If you waited this long, I would think you would wait for a job that you had a chance to win at.
But the
Cleveland,
one thing, Fred,
you have a chance. You
okay,
have a
but,
chance
all right,
to win.
But if he doesn't get the Cleveland job, now that's another year and now he's becoming persona non grata.
Well, you and I said this, is that you would be crazy if you are a major team and you wanted to hand over the reins to Josh McDaniels after what he did last year. I mean, that was unforgivable to have all those guys come in there. And now, of course, they're all saying, well, we're glad we have Frank Reich around here.
Yeah.
We wish he would have been our first choice. Yeah, look what he's done.
Yeah, he should look at Frank Reich and go, oh, boy, am I stupid. You know, and if you were such a coward that you wouldn't take a team because you weren't sure if Andrew Luck was going to be healthy, that's just amazing to me. That you don't think people realize when your team it sucks? I mean, as long as you get those guys to play hard for you for 3 years, the reason Bowles got fired is because they quit this season. Don't take the Cincinnati job. Interview for it. Why not? What's the big deal? Interview for the job. Then if they offer it to you and you don't want to take it, don't take it. There's 32 of these jobs, and there's a lot of guys that aren't going anywhere. And now I'm not even convinced that McDaniels would be the coach of the Patriots if they got rid of Belichick. Did Belichick retires? And I don't know how you could say with any certainty that that's the case.
Well, the decision makers love him. That's the thing. I mean, they love him.
If Belichick leaves in the next few years, it's McDaniels' job.
Yeah.
I do.
I don't know.
Well, they've shown that they love him. I mean, the owners, they're the ones who
they wanted consistency.
Paid him to come back.
They wanted consistency in the coaching staff. And by the way, pay him whatever you want. He didn't take a job. And if he's such a great coach, he'd still be coaching in the playoffs right now. And he didn't take it. And I bet you Indianapolis thanks God every day that they didn't get Josh McDaniels.
Well, I mean, that's true. I mean, even Ursay said it yesterday. If you can get underneath
you can sift through all the
mumbling of rainmakers and hobbly hobs. I'm quite sure what he was trying to say.
I don't have any. Hey, man, you know me, I'm a rainmaker. I just think I've been saying this for years. I've been following this McDaniels stuff, and I say, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind that you're going to try to now start cherry-picking jobs? I mean...
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
I mean, the idea in the NFL to cherry-pick jobs is hysterical to me. Because guess what? Good teams generally don't, fire their coach. Unless someone retires.
I do find it funny that, like, Cleveland has not expressed any interest, like, publicly in Josh McDaniels. And as I said, I mean, there's, of course, that story that was leaked through back channels. But why would you do that?
I have back channels.
Every team, when they interview someone, it seems, puts out a tweet that says that we just interviewed so-and-so.
Yeah, why? There's no reason to be secret.
And by the way, Green Bay didn't waste any time. You know, most of these teams go through extensive searches. I mean, Green Bay wanted this guy.
And now LaFleur can cherry-pick the assistants he wants.
Yep.
I mean, apparently he's going to keep Pettine as his defensive coordinator.
Oh, I remember Pettine.
That's the news this morning, that Pettine stays as defensive coordinator in Green Bay under the new guy.
I remember.
But, I mean, that's the thing. You're the first guy hired. You get your choice.
Yep.
There's no battling for assistant coaches, nothing. Just I want you, and you.
All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, Celtics pull off another good one and some excellent news, potentially, for a member of the Boston Red Sox.
All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, speaking of routes last night.
Tatum lob for Tice, throws it down with two hands.
Foul.
And the foul on Nate Davis.
Finally, they get it right this time. They go up. Tice grabs a high. Ed Davis hits him on the arm. Tice brings a hammer.
Well, it was Geno time at the Garden last night as the Celtics dismantled the Brooklyn Nets, 116-95. And you should have known it was going to be that type of evening the minute you saw Marcus Smart show up with the greatest haircut I've seen in the NBA in years.
Not a haircut.
And that's saying something.
Had it braided.
Well, a hairstyle.
Hairstyle.
So he had both a shamrock and the number 36 laid out in cornrows on his head. I mean, this is art. Looking at it a second time, I don't even know how they were able to make the cornrows stay in shape so perfectly. My guy has one hell of a stylist. But with Kyrie and Marcus Morris back, the team looked once again to be firing on all cylinders.
Kyrie gets in between two men and is in free for a layup. Marcus Smart found it.
He skipped between those two men. It's crazy.
Smart has been ridiculous here at the start. 9 points, 3 assists.
Yeah.
And ridiculous Marcus Smart type defense.
It's the haircut. Well, the ball distribution was its best all season as the Celtics notched a season record of 37 assists yesterday. Other great news was that last night's win marked the first time all season that Gordon Hayward has scored in double digits for three consecutive games. Not bad. Slowly but surely, he seems to be getting back on track.
This, by the way, is the way the Celtics drew it up when they got all these players together. Last night was how it's supposed to look.
Yep.
You know, everybody shares the ball movement. No one has to go off for 30 or 40 points. You have 6, 7 last night, 8 guys in double figures. And Brooklyn cut a 20-point lead to 5, and that's when you give the ball to Kyrie, and he makes a couple of shots and puts the game away.
Yeah,
I think if you ask Brad Stevens, that's exactly how he wants it to look the rest of the season.
I think the team high was 17.
Yes, Kyrie.
Yeah.
17, only 28 minutes. Perfect.
And he wants the team to get the opposite team to get within 5?
No. If offensively, though, that's the way Brad Stevens wanted to draw it up. 37 assists, A lot of different people landing in double figures. And if the other team does get close, Kyrie, you just give the ball to Kyrie and get out of the
way. He's break glass in case of emergency.
Exactly.
And you have that guy. And so, and that's the one thing that Kyrie Irving was nervous about doing at the beginning of the season. He didn't want to take over. And sometimes they were saying that, you know, they couldn't get the chemistry right and people were relying on Kyrie. But Kyrie's like, no, I want you to be involved.
Yeah. Everyone got involved last night.
Yeah, it looked good. Not saying it's going to stay that way, but for,
it never does.
It never does. But for a game, it did look good. So here's Kyrie Irving afterwards.
My first shot, I think, went to the side of the other side of the glass. So that should tell you where I was in terms of playing live basketball. You know, this was the first live game I've had since the Spurs game. So it was just good to just get my win back out there and just, you know, play with my teammates again and, you know, just kind of test it out there. But it was just good. I miss playing.
And I do love those two together. I mean, Kyrie and Marcus Smart, it just works. It's perfect. Yep. And I know it took a while at the beginning of the season for them to figure that out, but this has got to be the – I mean, that's the two positions that you don't have to worry about going into it, mixing and matching. They're your starters. And Brad Stevens knows that having Marcus Smart on the court, especially with that awesome new haircut, is always a good thing.
I've always felt like he's continued to work hard. He's going to continue to get better. I think that this year he's been really good about playing off of others. He's not looking for it. He's looking for other people. He's looking to make plays for other people. But when the ball finds him in those spots, we need him to take those and make those. He's got guts. He's going to make them when it all matters. And so it's good to see him having some success from behind there.
And it's true. I mean, the guy just got paid, but there's arguably three players on this team that are exceeding expectations. I mean, I know there were high expectations for Kyrie Irving, so I'll put him in that category, even though everyone knew he was going to be a great player. But Marcus Smart has stepped up his game. On top of that, Marcus Morris is going to make a ton of money. So when you have those three together playing on the team, it's like no game is...
Enjoy Morris now. Because he will not be here next year.
No, he's not. He's going to go. Someone is going to wildly overpay for him, and then maybe water will find its level once again. But as for this year, he is one of the best secret weapons in the NBA. So good for him. He's going to make himself a lot of cash. Well, with two seasons until... Oh, by the way, the Celtics have a big one tomorrow night as the third-place Pacers come to the Garden. And hear the tip-off right here on 98.5 Sports. I was thinking about this. When are you going back? Do you have an upcoming game?
Do not have an upcoming game. Not yet.
They just kind of throw that at you?
I find out, you know, with a couple of weeks out, and away we go.
All right.
My last game, by the way, was not my last game, but I did a game against Indiana in Indianapolis. Victor Oladipo's great.
Yeah.
So not an easy game tomorrow.
Now, it's just the Bryant Bulldogs, right?
Correct.
How are they pulling out?
They are 1-1 in conference. Lost a tough one to defending conference champions on Saturday.
Who are the defending conference champions?
Long Island University. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
LIU.
LIU, the Blackbirds of LIU.
An online school.
It's not true. This is the Grand Canyon. This is LIU.
The Grand Canyon.
I see those. Not the University of Phoenix. What's wrong with you?
Now, so is LIU still that super fast break team?
No. No.
That would have been a lot more fun for you.
Yes. They lost 79-70 on Saturday.
LIU used to put up like 100 a game.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember when they were like a super fast break team?
No. No.
Get with it.
Okay.
Get your stats right there,
John. Talk about Loyola Marymount?
No, I know what Marymount.
Okay.
No, LIU would always make the tournament. They'd win their conference, and then in the first round, they played press all game, and they pushed the ball on every possession.
Okay.
And that's all I got to say about it.
Okay.
Well, all right. Completely changing gears because I don't know anything about LIU.
Fire it over here. I can help.
With two seasons left until Mookie Betts hits free agency, those around the league are starting to speculate that the reigning American League Most Valuable Player could be in line to receive the largest contract in the history of baseball. As a matter of fact, Bob Nightingale of USA Today tweeted yesterday that executives all around the league are now predicting that Betts and Mike Trout are the most likely players to break the $400 million mark. They said that Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are not going to break the historic threshold, who has the best chance of becoming the baseball's first $400 or even $500 million players? And he said that Mookie Betts would possibly be one of those guys. $400 to $500 million, John Wallach.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a contract that you feel comfortable with the Red Sox paying?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would pay that in a second.
It's baseball
for Mookie
money.
Betts.
That's right. It's baseball money.
And this team has it. This team can afford it. Both guys are going to be free agents, I think, in 2021. So you got two more seasons before that, and salaries are only going up. They're not going down.
It's funny with Machado and Harper. Now it looks like Harper might be going back to the Nationals.
And now Machado...
What, 300? Is that what the Nationals threw out there?
Been having
at least 10 years and 300 mil, which he turned down, apparently.
But now they're having these clandestine meetings with him.
Kind of like McDaniels and the Cleveland Browns. Is that what it is?
Right, yes.
But back channels.
Through back channels.
Now, apparently, the White Sox are on the verge of signing outfielder John Jay, a former Cardinal.
Yes.
And there's a reason for that. Jay apparently works out with Machado and Machado's brother-in-law during the offseason. They've done it every year for like the last 5 years. So a lot of people think this is a step towards making sure Machado feels comfortable with signing with the White Sox.
Well, that's where they say he's leaning. They say he's leaning towards the White Sox. And Bryce Harper with the Nationals. I guess they had a four-hour meeting the other day.
Yep.
Bryce Harper and the Nationals. So maybe the market's not there that we thought.
No, that's the thing. A lot of people thought Machado and Harper would get 350 or maybe 400, and that's not happening.
So it should be interesting. Because I pay Trout more than I pay Betts just based on name recognition. I would.
But I'll tell you what, who was it who called him out? It wasn't the commissioner, was it, who was talking about the marketability of
Trout? He said that he should have been more of a brand.
It was Trout, right?
Isn't that shocking to you? Like, Mike Trout... like, should be everywhere, and he's not.
No, he's done the occasional Subway commercial, right?
Yeah, and but then, he should be he's everywhere.
New,
yeah.
He's the new Fogle. So they've replaced Jared Fogle with Mike Trout.
Which, by the way, is still the most press I think we've ever gotten with a Danny Age interview.
Yeah.
Is when he said, we were talking about how much he eats Chipotle. He goes, yeah, I'm the new Jared of Subway. No, not knowing what Jared had done since those commercials.
That's right. Nearly is the most press we've gotten for very dumb reasons. Now, I would get Trout. Trout's better anyway.
He is. Yeah. He is for now. But Mookie just gets better and better and better. So in 2 years, I'm not willing to say that.
Okay.
I mean, Trout is the best baseball player on the planet, but Betts isn't nearly as far behind as you think.
All right, but then I would give money to the best player with more name recognition.
But in 2 years, it could be different.
Why?
Why? As I said, Betts continues to get better.
And what, Trout sucks?
I didn't say that. I'm saying the gap is narrowing.
So is yours with your Invisalign.
Thank you.
All right, Rich, what is going on?
All right, the Bruins speak on Charlie McAvoy. On top of that, we will get to a little bit of news involving somebody who had to issue an apology for a slang term that he used.
All right, so we will have that.
98.5, Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and... Rich, what else is going on?
Well, it was the double doink. We all saw it at the end of the Bears-Eagles game, and Cody Parkey gets booed off of Soldier's Field, and now it looks like the NFL has come out and said, yep, we are officially changing the missed field goal to a block. They reviewed the tape and said that we are going to officially put it in the record books as being a blocked field goal, which I'm sure that doesn't quite make Cody Parkey feel much better.
No, because it's still his fault. I watched it a bunch of times. You got to clear the line.
Man, I don't know. I mean, that guy was. Well,
that's what a field goal kicker does. I mean, the guy just jumped straight in the air. He didn't get through the line at all. I mean, that's your responsibility as a kicker, just as much as making a field goal.
See, it looked like he was over the line. I mean, he got through the line a decent.
No, he didn't.
Guy jumped up.
Yeah,
he didn't. It wasn't like he jumped
up and over.
No, but that happens. That happens all the time.
You have to be able to clear the
every
line.
Every field goal, you have a guy jump up and over.
Yes, sure. That's part of the job.
It's 43 yards.
Yes, and your job as a lineman is to stop him from jumping up and over.
It happens on every
if I'm a lineman, how can I stop him from jumping in the air?
You block him.
No.
You get higher.
No.
No, why would I? Whoa. That, even Bird's saying, what are you talking about? How, if I'm the lineman, I get higher, then it's going to hit off of me.
Okay, then how do you successfully stop someone from being able to block a field goal? Because it happens all the time.
Well, if they penetrate the line, then that's...
That's on you.
But if the
guy jumps at the line of scrimmage from 40-plus yards away and blocks it, the kicker didn't get it high enough.
So at the line of scrimmage is where he jumped. That's what you're saying. So he jumped straight up.
That's correct.
That is not correct.
He reached over the offensive lineman.
Yes, he was able to get over the line of scrimmage when he blocked it.
I don't know. His hand, maybe.
He jumped straight up. That's what you're saying.
He jumped straight up and over. Obviously, yes, his momentum pushed him forward a little bit.
No,
but he's a defensive lineman. He's not Michael Jordan. I mean, every defensive lineman, everybody on the defensive line of a field goal team jumps up. Those that don't penetrate the line.
Yes.
It should not happen. You should not have a 43-yard field goal blocked like that.
No.
If it's a guy who comes from the side, that's one thing. It was a blown assignment. A guy who penetrates the middle and dives forward, that's something else. You should not have a field goal blocked by a jumping defensive lineman on a 43-yard field goal.
No, it's entirely his fault. Entirely. I mean, you got to clear that line. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, that's as much a part of anything. I mean, if you kick it right into line all the time, it's going to get blocked all the time. So regardless of what the league said about it, that's on him still.
And by the way, the Chargers are now saying they knew 67% of the Ravens' offensive plays before they happened. As a matter of fact,
I don't think it was that difficult. I mean, I knew 67% of the Baltimore plays
Zach
before
Lamar
they ran. Honest to God.
Well, defensive lineman Damian Square claimed that he knew those plays before they were going to, because you said you see tendencies. Guys react the same way all the time to pressure. We saw it on the tape.
Lamar Jackson's going to run around a lot. Just make sure he doesn't get outside and tackle him.
He said, we always knew where he wanted to escape. We just showed up in all of those gaps.
Yeah, exactly. Why even read this story? I could have told you that.
Well, all that being said, then why were people freaking out over this offense, the Ravens offense, and how Lamar Jackson will be able to carve him up?
Because you have to have the athletes to chase this guy down.
And that's why
the Chargers do. The Chargers do have the athletes to chase a guy like that down.
And it worked.
Not all defenses do.
Oh, by the way, they're saying how many inches of snow now for Sunday?
Well, if you talk to Zolak, it's 18. But in reality, it's probably 3 to 5.
Okay, so
I heard 1 to 3.
See, I heard 5 to 8. But either way, there's supposed to be snow.
8 inches of snow?
I didn't hear that.
I've heard 5 to 8.
I didn't hear that. I heard the storm could be a miss. I mean, but Zolak, if you talk to Zolak, every time you talk to him about the storm, and Bertrand called him on it yesterday, the number gets bigger just because Zolak's saying stuff like
and
that.
And by the way, it's not like the Chargers aren't built to win in the snow. I mean, they have arguably the best running back in football.
If he's healthy, yes.
If he's healthy. Mm-hmm. All right, let me see here what they say. Now, I don't have my weather underground.
Oh, yeah. Where's Dark Skies? You have Dark Skies there?
Dark Skies updated their app about 6 months ago, and it sucks now.
Really?
Right, it's tough to read. I can't even figure it out.
All right.
Chance of snow, 30%, and then snow showers, 1 to 3 inches of snow, and that's in the evening. So now a PM snow showers.
Oh, so now it's gone back. Okay.
Well, this is a Weather Channel, so you can go wherever you want. You want me to go AccuWeather on the people real quick?
You can AccuWeather our ass? Let's do it.
All right, baby.
Is that the most reliable of them all?
What do I know?
What happened to your Weather Underground obsession? I thought that was...
That's just dudes. That's just people.
It's just guys speculating?
Yeah. No, it's like amateur... it's amateur meteorologists.
Got the Weather Channel app up. It says basically no snow showers, but no accumulating snow during the day on Sunday.
Okay.
30 degrees. So, I mean, I see all the scenarios. It could be a mist to the south. The Euro model has it as a miss.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, AccuWeather has no snow.
Okay.
Yeah. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.